Recently, I have been preaching messages to our congregation at 13th Street from passages of Scripture in the New Testament where our Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the preacher. I've been selecting passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where our Lord Himself preached. And these studies have been a special blessing to me, and I feel like they've been a blessing to our congregation. And one of the messages that I brought recently is from John chapter 8. And I'd like for you to get your Bible today and open it with me to the 8th chapter of John. And here our Lord is teaching in the temple. He's surrounded by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people there in the temple and the people who frequented the temple of God in Jerusalem. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in this message, used the word if. A little word, two-letter word, I-F, if. He used it 8 or 9 times. And it attracted my attention. Not just to make a play on words. That's not interesting at all, just to make a play on words. But rather, he emphasized the particular truth with which he was dealing, and the unchangeable terms of that truth. If this be so, that's so, unchangeably so. If this condition exists, this exists, unchangeably so. Now, that's what he's doing all the way through this entire chapter, chapter 8. Now, I want you to look at it with me. I'll give you about 7 of them, the Lord willing, if we have the time. The first powerful statement, unchangeable truth, is found in John 8, verse 24. And here's what our Master said. If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. That's unchangeable. Unchangeable. Powerful. If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Now, our Lord is here in the temple, surrounded by these Pharisees and Sadducees and people who came to the temple to worship and offer sacrifice. And he had just said this to them back in the preceding verse. He said, now, you're from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. This is what he said to those people. You're from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. What's he saying? He's declaring that he's God. I'm from above. I'm not born of the earth. I'm not of the earth. I'm from above. That's what John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Christ is called the Word of God. He was in the beginning with God. He was God. All things were made by Him. And the Word was made flesh. He came from heaven to the earth and entered the womb of a virgin and was born. Timothy says this, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of the angels, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Isaiah 9 says, unto us a child is born and a son is given, came from heaven. And Isaiah 6:14 said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So this is what Christ is saying to these people. You're from beneath. I'm from above. You're of the world. I'm not of the world. God sent me. I'm the Son of God. Now, this is when he said in verse 24, and if you believe not that I am He, you die in your sins. Did you notice those two words, I am? If you believe not that I am, that's the name of God. Moses in Exodus 3:14 says, Lord, when the Lord was sending him down into Egypt to deliver Israel, he said, Lord, when they ask me who sent me, what's his name, what am I going to tell them? And the Lord spoke out of the burning bush and said, Moses, I am that I am. Not I was, I will be, I am. Ever present, eternal, ever present God. I am that I am. Tell them, I am has sent you. And that's what Christ is saying here. If you don't believe that I am from above, I'm God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. If you don't believe that, you'll die in your sin. And if you don't believe that I am he, you notice he put that word, I am he. I'm who? Who's he talking about? I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. Our Lord asked his disciples one day, whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah. Thou art the Son of God. I am he. I'm God. I'm the Messiah. You see that? And this powerful truth, now, unchangeable, immutable. These terms can't be tampered with. If you do not believe that I am he, Jesus of Nazareth is God over all, blessed forever. Jesus of Nazareth is Christ the Messiah, the Old Testament Messiah, the only mediator between God and men. And if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. You'll die under the guilt of your sins. And you'll die and meet God in judgment for your sins. There's a vast difference in dying in Christ and dying in sin. A wide, wide difference. You believe not that I am he, you die in your sins. Can't be changed. If. The second powerful statement is found in verse 31. He said, now if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue in my word. Now, in verse 30, as he spake these words, I am he, as he spake these words, it says concerning who he is, many of the people believed him. They believed him. They believed and professed to believe that he is the Christ. Is not this the Christ? Many of them believed. And then he said to them, now listen, he declared to those people who believed on him, he said this. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. This will be the proof. This will be the evidence that you do indeed believe. This will be the proof. This will be the evidence that you are truly my disciple. If you continue in the gospel and be not moved away, if you continue in the faith and do not depart, if you continue in the gospel, then you are indeed my disciple. You see, to continue in my word is to live and die in faith. It's to abide in Christ, and Christ abides in us. It's to continue to hold fast to our profession and not be moved away from him. You know, Paul said about his friend Demas, he said, Demas left me. Demas departed, having loved this present world. He departed. And then John said this. John said, they went out from us. People left the gospel. They professed the gospel and they walked with us a while and then they quit. And they went out from us. But John says they weren't of us. They weren't of us. For if they had indeed truly been of us, that's what our Lord says. If you continue in the gospel, continue in Christ, abide in him, his word abides in you, then indeed you are my disciple indeed. Not just in profession, not just on a church roll, not just put on, play like. You are indeed my disciple. Now, perseverance in faith in the gospel is not a condition of salvation. It's evidence of it. A man is not saved because he continues. He continues because he's saved. My wife and I were sitting in a restaurant today, and a little 4-year-old girl came skipping by. Pretty little blonde-headed girl, about 4 years old, and she was just swinging her arms and smiling and skipping. I said, look how happy she is. And my wife said, when you skip, that's a sign you're happy. When a child is skipping, it's a happy child. But now let me tell you something. Skipping didn't make her happy. Happy made her skip. You see what I'm saying? Skipping didn't make her happy. She's skipping because she's happy. And continuing in Christ didn't save me. But if I'm in Christ, I will continue. That's right. if I am, that's what Paul says in Hebrews 10, the just shall live by faith. He'll live by faith, he'll continue to live by faith, and he'll die in faith if he's one of God's people. But if any man draw back, and some do, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But Paul said, we're not of them that draw back, are we? Are we? You know, the grace of God changes a person, makes them a new creature, gives them a new heart, new nature, new attitude, new walk, new companions, new family, new direction, new goals, new everything is new. Somebody said one time that true faith, if a man has true faith in God, it shows in his eyes. If a man has true faith in God, it lights up his countenance. If he has true faith in God, it softens his touch. He's gentle. He's a gentle person. If he has true faith, it mellows his voice. If he has true faith, it'll bow his head. It'll bend his knee. It'll open his hand in generosity. It'll curb his tongue. It'll humble his heart. It'll order his steps. It'll teach his mind. It'll give him peace and teach him to forgive. That's right. She's skipping because she's happy. She's not happy because she's skipping. And he's continuing faith because he's a believer. He's not a believer because he continues. But that's the evidence that he's a believer. He continues to believe. Here's the third statement, John 8:36. Awesome, unchangeable statement. He said, if the Son of God makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Truthfully, eternally, forever free. Now, what led him to that? Say that? Well, back in verse 32, he said this, my disciples continue in my word, which is the truth, and the truth makes them free. And those Pharisees, when he said that, they said, why, we're Abraham's seed. We're not in bondage. What do you mean free? We don't need to be set free. We've never been in bondage to any man. Our Lord declared, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. That's right. Whosoever commits sin is in bondage to sin. He's in bondage to the law. He's in bondage to justice. He's under the curse of the law. If you've ever committed one sin in your life, you say, preacher, you're being facetious. We've committed many. I said just one. to offend in one part is to be guilty of the whole law. But if you ever sin, you're a slave of sin. You're in bondage to sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. That's the end of sin. And that'll be your end, unless those sins are put away. The soul that sinneth, it'll surely die. The soul, now, I'm not talking about the body. It's going to die anyhow, and you know that. But the soul that sinneth, it'll surely, surely, surely die. Just one sin. Be sure your sins will find you out. That's when he said, but if the Son, the Son of God, the Messiah, who came to set the captive free. That's what he said. The Spirit of God's upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captive free, to set at liberty them that are bruised and bound, to give sight to the blind. If he makes you free, you are free indeed. Free from what? Free from what? All right, listen, free from sin, all sin. He said, I'll cast your sins into the depths of the sea. I'll remember them no more. I'll separate them from you as far as the east is from the west. He bore our sins in his body and put them away. Free from what? From the curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. But Christ was made a curse for us and redeemed us from the curse of the law. Free. Free from sin, free from the curse, free from the captivity of Satan. Do you know that people are led captive by Satan, by his will? That's right. Captive by the will of Satan. Christ sets the captive free. free from the ceremonial law. Do you, you that would be under the law, don't you hear the law? Don't you hear what the law requires? You don't want to be under a ceremonial law. Law of circumcision and ceremony and priesthood and sacrifices and all these laws. He freed us from the law. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. And on our behalf and in our stead and for our righteousness, He's fulfilled all the law. We're free. If the Son make you free, you'll be free from sin, from the curse, from the captivity of Satan, from the ceremonial law, and from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Free from all condemnation. All right, the fourth powerful statement, written down here in verse 39, John 8, verse 39. He says, if you were Abraham's children, they said that a while ago, we be Abraham's children. If you were, if you really were the children of Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham. These men were quick to inform our Lord of the fact that they were the descendants of Abraham. They were proud of that fact, and they wanted the Lord to understand that, and He knew that. He said, I know you're Abraham's descendants. I know that. God called Abraham my friend. My friend. And these people were bragging about the fact that the friend of God was their friend. They weren't particularly the friend of God, but there's a friend of Abraham who's a friend of God. And that's the way people are doing today, what they're doing today. They're going back there and living on the names of these old forefathers like Calvin and Zwingli and Huss and Luther and John Owens and John Knox and the Spurgeons and the Bunyans and the Wesleys. And we're talking about these are our forefathers. They started our denomination, and we are therefore their children. Well, our Lord looked at these people, and this is what He said. They said, Abraham's our father. We're the children of Abraham. He said, if you were the children of Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham. You'd walk like him and talk like him, and you'd do the works of Abraham. Have you ever studied the works of Abraham? The Jews talk about Abraham having 7, 8, or 9, or 10 trials, severe trials, through which God put him and proved him. And these are awesome. You remember he left his home, now he's 75 years old, when he left his home and family and went to the land that God, of which God spoke about to him. He left, believing God. And then he dwelt in tents all his life. He never owned any property. God promised it to him and to his seed. But he never entered into that possession of that promise. He lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob. He gave Lot the best land. And then he refused to be made rich by the kings of Sodom and the pagan kings. And then he sent away his beloved first son by Hagar, the slave girl. He kicked him out. He had to. God told him to send him away. He said the child of promise cannot live with a child of flesh. Can't do it. And then he sacrificed Isaac on the mountain. And many more trials and works of Abraham. But I can't duplicate these. What's our Lord saying to me and to you? If you were the children of Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham. I can't match this. I wouldn't even want to try. But I believe what our Lord's referring to here is the chief work of Abraham. You know what it was? Abraham believed God. That's what it says about him all the way through the Scriptures. This is what made Abraham different. This is what brought God's mercies and blessings upon Abraham. This is the foundation for all that he did, all for which he hoped. This is the reason for all that he did, for all that he was, and for all that he is. He believed God. He believed God. He believed God was able to perform all that He promised. He did not entertain a doubt against hope. He believed God. And that's the work of God. And that's the work of Abraham, to believe God. And that's what Christ is saying to these Pharisees. If Abraham was your father, and if you were the children of Abraham, you'd believe as Abraham did. You seek to kill me. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham saw my day and was glad He rejoiced. Abraham believed in me. And if you were the children of Abraham, you would too. They asked the Lord one time, said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now tell us, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? The Lord Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God hath sent. So there you have it. There you have it. This is the work of God. And then here's the fifth statement. The fifth statement. Very powerful. It's found here in verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Now, I know that the people out yonder in this world, this is their general doctrine and theology. God loves everybody, and God's the Father of all men. We're all the children of God, the fatherhood of God, and the brotherhood of man. That's an accepted rule of this day. But our Lord didn't say that. He said to these men, if God were your Father, you would love me. Why did he say that to them? Well, they said this to him in the previous verse, verse 41. They said to Christ, we're not born of fornication. We're not born in sin. We have one Father. God is our Father. Now, here these religious fellows are standing looking at the Son of God, and they're telling him, God is our Father. You understand that? God is our Father because God's the Father of all men. And Christ replied, if God were your Father, you would love me. That's what he said. If God were your Father, he's not. If he were, you'd love me. If you were born of God, you'd love God. And you'd love his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'd love his people. Listen to the Bible. Listen to the Word now. 1 John 2:29. Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. They're God's children. And they do righteousness because they're God's children. 1 John 4:7. Everyone that loveth is born of God. And he that loveth God loveth him that's begotten of God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he's born of God. Now I have three sons. One's dead, killed in Vietnam. I have two other sons. They're my sons. They're born of me. They're nobody else's son. They're my sons. I don't have any other son but those three sons. But they're my son because they were begotten of me. And if you love God and are born of God, you're a son of God. And if you're not born of God, you're not a son of God. You're a son of Adam, but you're not a son of God. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And Christ said, if you were God's children and God were your Father, you'd love me. You love me for two reasons. Look at this verse now, verse 42. Because I proceeded forth and I came from God. That's why you love me. I and my Father are one. If I and my Father are one, how can you love him, not love me? Come on now. I am the only begotten Son of the Father. Can you love him, not love me? He that has seen me has seen God. Can you love God and not love me, the only manifestation of God you've ever seen? He's expressed exact image of God. How can you love God and not love Christ? It's impossible. Impossible. If God were your Father, you would love me, Christ said, because I and my Father are one. I came from God. I'm the only begotten Son of God. And secondly, he said, neither came I into this world of myself. He sent me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He sent me into this world. How can you love God, believe God, worship God, revere God, and trust God if you don't love and revere him whom God sent? His own Son. If God were your Father, you'd love the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sixth powerful statement's in verse 46. If I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe me? Which of you can find any fault in me, any sin in me? Oh, they all spoke highly of him. Nicodemus said, we know you come from God. No man could do these miracles except God be with him. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. One of the Pharisees says, Master, we know you're true and you teach the true way of God and you regard not the person of men. He said, why don't you believe me? Isn't that the opinion of people today? Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is a prophet. Jesus Christ came from God. Jesus Christ did no sin, only man who ever lived without sin. Jesus Christ preaches the truth. Then here comes the question. If he speaks the truth, why don't you believe him? Why don't you believe him? Here comes the answer. He said, I speak the truth. I came from God. Why don't you believe me? He said, I'll tell you. He that is of God hears God's word. You hear them not. This is an awful charge. Awful. You hear them not because you're not of God. That's a terrible charge, isn't it? But if he speaks the truth, why don't you believe him? Well, he tells you, you're not of God. If you're of God, you'd believe God's word. They asked him one time, they said, well, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you. You didn't believe me. You didn't believe me because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they believe me. If, that's the title of this message, if you want it, write for it, we'll send it to you. Till next week, God bless you.